Hello, everybody, and welcome back to another Bear Necessities podcast. I'm your host, Austin, and with me once again, my gracious co-host, Reese. How are you feeling this week, Reese? I know you just got back from hitting the lakes. Where were we at?
I was down in Pekin, Illinois. I'm trying to do a little bit of catfishing and was mildly successful. So it was a nice weekend to go down there and do that. It was very windy, though. It was very windy this past weekend, really kind of in most of like the north half of Illinois. So it made it a little bit tough. But yeah, overall, it's been a pretty good week and, you know, life is going on. So how about you, man?
You know, pretty good. I've been mildly irritated by Bears Twitter this week.
My goodness, man.
That's essentially my life now. Is just I look at Twitter. I don't engage because I feel like engaging just will make things worse. Listen, at a certain age, you just got to stop having Twitter arguments, I would say, with people. But I noticed, like, dude, I still find it so weird how much Bears Twitter loves David Bell. You know, I get it. Like, he played for Purdue, but come on. No, like, come on. Yeah, let's be serious. Like, a lot of people are, some people are saying he's better than Christian Watson, George Pickens. And I'm going to be honest. I'm just going to say it. I think that if you think David Bell is better than George Pickens, you should be arrested immediately.
Man, I really hope those are good eatable words. I mostly agree with you, but that'll be hilarious if this ends up being a tragic take. I think with, you know, David Bell, I don't think he's exactly what the Bears need right now. He does have his strengths, you know. I think that he obviously usually finds a way to get open, but my one critique is that it's usually not the most open. I mean, I don't think he gets insane amount of separation. Exactly. We all know he doesn't have elite speed, which I'm fine with. I'm not one of these guys that always needs burners on my team. I think it would be, you know, not necessarily. This is, Sky Moore isn't necessarily the receiver that the Bears absolutely need right now, but, you know, I wouldn't be upset getting him. But, you know, that's not absolutely what I need to see in a receiver. It'd also be great if he had a little bit of height, too. And David Bell is just kind of, I think he can have his role, but it screams. And I think I've seen some people on Twitter actually say this, so I apologize. I'm ripping from people, but, you know, a little bit kind of like the Riley Ridley situation, right? Where it's like, you know, what are exactly the strengths? Like, he's pretty balanced, fundamental. Like, David Bell runs, you know, pretty crisp routes. He does a lot of those kind of technique things right. But, you know, it was kind of weird how we only saw him pop off in like certain games, you know, and then other games he really kind of disappeared. So I don't know what to make of it.
Listen, like, with David Bell, I think it goes back to this old Bears fan thing where we just accept mediocrity. And David Bell came up in some big moments for Purdue, especially that Iowa game. Yeah. You know, he came up big. So I don't want to diminish David Bell as a player, but I don't see David Bell as a second round pick. I see David Bell as like a late third round pick.
Yeah, no,
I
think it would be a bit of a disappointment, frankly, if they ended up taking him in the second round. If it's a situation where they trade back and snag him like in the early third or something like that, I wouldn't be, you know, terribly upset if we had already taken a receiver. You know, if you've already taken a receiver and then they still take David Bell, I'm not going to be upset. I still think he can bring something to this team, but I don't think he's going to have the impact. You know, Christian Watson's really a riser, but I don't think he'd have the impact of Christian Watson. And of course, Pickens, I don't think he'd get quite to that level either. But as you work down the list, you know, it's kind of interesting. It's like, do you take him or like an Alec Pierce? You know, like, who do you think is going to make more of an impact?
I would take Alec Pierce. Isn't that might sound crazy, but I would personally take Alec Pierce.
I don't
think
it's crazy because I could see where he'd fit into this team. But it's like, you know, like Alec Pierce is like a slot guy, you know, like with David Bell, that might be what he ends up becoming too. But he's just kind of, David Bell doesn't have a certain place where you want to like stick him in, you know. He's not the small, fast guy. He's not like a big jump ball threat. Like, he can get up there, but he's not a huge
jump ball threat.
He just doesn't really have a place, you know?
Yeah, no, I'm sorry to interrupt, but like, it's weird because he's listed at like 6'2", in the 200s for his weight, but I've never viewed him as that like
physical
big body guy. You know, yeah, like that physical guy. Like, for me personally, George Pickens, I think, is actually a little bit smaller than him. And I think George Pickens is way more physical.
If that is the case, he certainly plays bigger.
He plays bigger. And the thing, like, listen, I get the love for David Bell. He's a Midwest guy, plays at Purdue, a program that a lot of people from Chicago have a lot of love for. But listen, like, at the end of the day, like, you look at his draft profile, I just don't know how he's going to get the adequate separation that he needs at the next level to ever become an elite weapon or even a good weapon. Like, if you're talking about him as like your third guy, okay, that makes sense. You know, I think or even having a role, but I think like Riley Ridley is like an interesting comp for him because he doesn't do that much that well. Whereas like you look at George Pickens and you're like, okay, well, okay. Actually, I'm going to start with Christian Watson. Now, Christian Watson, he's a riser. Some people are even saying he's going to go in the first round. I think he's extremely raw, has a ton of bust potential, but also has literally elite level movement skills and elite level speed and quickness. Like, I was watching some of his Senior Bowl tape as well on top of it. And in the drills, man, his change of direction is crazy. Yeah. And like, I think some people are saying he's like a Kevin White. No, I think there's a bad comp for him. I've seen people say that about
Pickens.
That's hilarious. I think that's a bad comp for Christian Watson. Christian Watson, he's a very unique player because he is very raw in his route running ability, but as far as like traits to become a good route runner, they're all there. So you could potentially say, okay, give him a good wide receiver coach, and maybe he can develop. So I wouldn't be that upset with Christian Watson in the second round. With George Pickens, though,
he's like, not exactly the same player, but like going into the draft, he's kind of like a Mike Williams-esque. Like, I feel like you know exactly what you're going to get with him.
Yeah. You know? I here's the thing is like, I'm very high on Pickens, but I can also say I'm not sure he'll ever be a true number one.
Yeah.
In the NFL. Like here's what's so good about George Pickens. He is raw as a route runner, but he isn't terrible when it comes to his release. And he shows a lot of upside in his route running ability. What he is truly good at is he has elite level body control, which is like, so people underestimate how like important that is when evaluating a player. He's able to, his last name is Pickens, literally jump and pull a ball out of the air. And like, we just haven't had a receiver like that in recent memory for this Bears team. So, and he's also a good deep threat for his size. So yeah, I think like he's a very unique case, and I can't even remember what his comp is, but the only reason why I mentioned in a previous episode he reminds me a little bit of Davante Adams is because of his elite level body control.
Yeah,
you know, like he almost has that like almost like Odell level of body control. It's a question of, okay, can he develop even more as a route runner? But I don't know, man, I think that he is just going to be such a good wide receiver still.
Yeah, I think there's a couple other interesting like names to watch. I know I've seen Jameson Williams floated around on kind of like the extreme slide scenario.
That'd be so nice.
I think it's interesting to discuss if teams are really down on, you know, where he's at physically with his injury. But it looked like from videos I've seen recently that he's recovering pretty fast. So I doubt that, you know, he will make it down to the Bears. And then also I think that the other Alabama receiver, Mechie, I think is interesting to watch. Especially if there's a situation, you know, if he's falling a bit farther than expected as well. Not that it'll be an issue for the second round. He'll certainly be there in the third round. I think he'll probably be there round two when the Bears are picking. As far as anything after that, though, it'll be interesting to see if, you know, if they decide to go one wide receiver and then two linemen, or, you know, a lineman and, you know, a different player, then, you know, if he's still around, I wonder if the Bears decide to make a move on someone like him to get a good value at a deeper pick. But I think that there's a lot of interesting, you know, names in this wide receiver class. It's easy to fall in love with a lot of them.
Jameson Williams, too, has experience with Justin Fields at Ohio State.
Yeah.
Obviously, he didn't excel there, but he's still a really good. Here's my only, like, this is what gets me when we talk about drafting a receiver like Williams. If he falls to us, you have to take him. But there's that huge question of, like, do we really need another smaller, you know, fast guy? I mean, like, he has a lot of similarities to Darnell Mooney. And I think there's an issue when you devote too much capital into the same type of player, you know?
I don't think he's... I don't see him as the Darnell Mooney type.
Really?
Yeah, I really don't, honestly. I think there's differences like in his game. To me, like his...
There's certainly differences in his game, but you can't underestimate... Like, Darnell Mooney's a good route runner, too. But you can't underestimate, like, not having that guy that you're just able to throw touchdown passes to all the time because he's just a massive human being, like a DK Metcalf. Yeah, well, I mean, obviously, DK Metcalf is, like, the gold standard of that. But there is, like...
Or like
we would
Brown,
still be missing that. Yeah, like an even like an AJ Brown or like a yeah.
I don't think Jameson Williams, who's 6'2", and for me, I mean, to me, he has a lot bigger home run potential than someone like Darnell Mooney. But you know, that could just be me.
How skinny is he? How much did he weigh in at? He was pretty skinny when he weighed in, wasn't he?
I mean, he's not a huge dude. I mean, he's not exactly. I mean, he's right. He's not the Metcalf or AJ Brown type receiver. But at the same time, I think that, you know, he still has, you know, good body size, good ability to position on the ball. And I don't know, from what I've seen of him play, I've always been, you know, blown away by his abilities. So
yeah, we'll see. I guess he is 6'2". I mean, he needs to put on some weight. He weighed in at 180. I mean, he needs to put on some weight, but still, I mean, that is better, I should say.
Yeah. I mean, he's got his whole NFL career to put on some weight, you know, or at least put it on, you know, somewhat over the first couple of years, you know. But
let's hope.
Yeah.
Or it can be an Eddie Lacy situation where it just gets too far out of hand.
Yeah.
I have good news. We got another 5-star rating.
Oh, beautiful.
Yes. Unfortunately, right now, I'm not. So sometimes what we'll notice, guys, is we'll get the rating that will show up in the stars. Like, it'll show that, like, okay, you got another 5-star rating, but sometimes it takes a little bit extra time. I don't know what Apple's doing with it, but it takes a little bit extra time for it to actually, like, show if there's a written rating. So this person, there's no written rating right now. Thank you for leaving the 5-star rating. We see it. Once the written rating comes through, if you have done it, then we'll read it off on the show. If you haven't done it, why don't you go back, leave us a written rating and review, and then we will leave it out. You can leave your Instagram handle, Twitter handle, whatever you want to do. And, you know, tell us what you agree with us on, what you disagree with us on. You know, like the one thing with podcasting is it can at times be a little bit of a, you know, it's sometimes it gets,
you know, you fall in love with your own viewpoint a little bit.
Yeah. And it's just, we talk to you and sometimes we can oftentimes forget that we have this whole audience that has their own perspective that they want to share. And, you know, given that you guys listen to the most informative Chicago Bears podcast on Apple Podcasts, we know that you are also an informed Chicago Bears fan. You're not the Bears fan that's going out there and you know, still being mad about us letting go of Jordan Howard. You're the Bears fan that's thinking about the future and thinking about Justin Fields holding up that Lombardi trophy. So go ahead, leave us a 5-star rating and review. Please, helps us literally tremendously. Every single time we get one, we see a huge uptick in the way that Apple or Spotify shows our podcast. If you're in Spotify has ratings now too. I know we have, Spotify shows us a lot of love. Like, we're like a top 3 Bears podcast on Spotify. So if you're on Spotify listening to us, I think you can leave ratings and reviews there as well. Do that as well. But yeah, whenever we'll get a new one,
them, you know,
yeah, of course we look at them. We love seeing them and we genuinely like, I mean, we're not, the two of us are surely not, absent of being able to handle criticism. We criticize each other a bunch on this podcast, as I'm sure you guys have heard. So you don't need to worry if you have something, you know, a little criticizing to say. If you think David Bell is the best wide receiver in the world, voice it to us. We'll read it and just leave that 5-star rating and review, and we'll stay on good terms.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, if you think David Bell is all that, so yeah, feel free to leave that down there. I don't know anyone else we consistently bash on. Even Jordan Howard. If you have a strong Jordan Howard take, I'll take it.
Resign Jordan Howard. all right, man. Bruce Arians retired. Sorry, guys. We do have one last little piece of non-Bears news, I guess. Bruce Arians officially retired. Well, not really retired. He moved to a front office position with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. This literally happened like 30 minutes ago. Todd Bowles will be taking over for the team. First reactions, Reese. I mean, it's kind of good. We have a really good coach leaving the NFC, if you want to think about it like that.
Yeah. I mean, you still feel like Arians is going to have some kind of influence over the team. Obviously, still staying within the organization. I think this was a logical handoff. I mean, it'll be interesting to see just how well it works at first. But, you know, to me, it seems like it's a situation where you bring in, you literally couldn't have a better quarterback to try and pull this with someone that's going to just continue to bring continuity. Byron Leftwich stays around, so a lot of the offense stays the same, and Bowles already had a good command of that defense. So, you know, in reality, at least you think that at least on the football side of things, a lot of things should stay the same. It's just kind of a matter of, you know, how well Todd Bowles can lead him. And he's had his first go around as a head coach, and I think that Arians made the move because he trusted him to be successful in making this handoff of the head coaching position. So I think overall there's not too much to criticize them on. I think that, yeah, it's nice to have Bruce Arians, you know, out of it. We knew, you know, how deadly that Buccaneers team was, and really just kind of over two seasons, you know, Brady and Arians really kind of made their print on the league in such a short period of time. But we'll see what Bowles can pick up on. I mean, I have no doubt in my mind that they can still contend and be something in the NFC this coming year.
Yeah, for sure. And listen, a lot of people dunk on Todd Bowles for his tenure with the Jets. I honestly, the further we get away from it, I remember in the moment that, like, when they finally fired him, you were like, okay, yeah, that should have happened. I don't want to be this, like, revisionist NFL fan. Like, I think we probably would have been with if we hired, like, some other old coach where we'd say, oh, yeah, it wasn't that bad. It was bad with that Jets team. But in hindsight, after the whole Gase era, I feel like he overachieved with that team, even though it was so bad. Yeah. It's like he had less talent on that team than Gase had, and he still had much better results. You know, I mean, this is a time where Ryan Fitzpatrick was playing pretty well for them.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that, you know, I'm sure he gets a little bit of a bad rap, and, you know, not a lot of coaches have had a great amount of success with the Jets since Rex Ryan. So we're still waiting to see the Jets really kind of make some kind of turnaround into success. But yeah, I think Todd Bowles, it's certainly a lot, you know, a lot significantly more favorable of a situation. I don't think that really kind of goes without saying, you know, everyone knows that. So I don't have, you know, a lot of doubts as to how he'll at least do this initial year. How the years go after Tom Brady leaves are kind of yet to be seen. But he doesn't have to worry about that quite yet.
Kind of weird. Rex Ryan, Illinois native, went to Stevenson. I went to look at his Wikipedia page. I always remember him, for some reason, he always is imprinted in my head as the Bills coach. But I'm always such an idiot with it because I'm like, oh, yeah, he coached the Jets for way longer than he coached the Bills.
Yeah, a lot more success, too.
Yeah, certainly. Yeah, so happy for Todd Bowles. Hope he does well. And we were talking before the show about, like, kind of, I think the reason why Bruce Arians actually did this was because I don't think he wanted to hand Todd Bowles a mess. A lot of people will remember back when the Bears lost Vic Fangio, which happened to be the year that Todd Bowles was also fired. There was a lot of rumors that Todd Bowles might rejoin Matt Nagy because he had, like, relationships with him, and, like, his Matt Nagy's dad coached him in high school, and, like, they went back for a long time, but he ended up going to Tampa Bay, and it was rumored that Arians essentially told him, come here, I'll make you the head coach when I leave, because I think everyone knew when Arians came back that this was going to be a temporary thing. So I think really the reason why Arians did this now was because, okay, he's not going to leave him a mess with the whole Tom Brady era. You know, like, if Tom Brady left and Bruce Arians left as well, that Tampa Bay team is probably going to be a mess for a little bit, you know? So, ultimately, I think a good move. I think the Buccaneers are going to be set up for success in the future. They're going to need to figure out how to draft a quarterback, because it seems like it'd be kind of interesting to see if they'd be willing to take a quarterback this year in the draft. I think that's a real possibility in the first round, depending on who falls.
Yeah, I think it's somewhat possible. I don't think that, you know, obviously Brady wouldn't really feel any type of way because he's gonna essentially be there as long as he wants to be. And, you know, when he actually wants to call it a quits for real, then it will be over with. So, I mean, I could see them possibly doing it. I forgot who they currently have is, don't they have Kyle Trask? So, I mean, who knows how they feel about Kyle Trask?
I don't know, man.
I mean, they took him for a reason, you know? They already got their guy.
They already got their guy. Oh, but he wasn't even the backup. Who? Oh, my God. Who was the dude? Who's their backup QB that was going to be the starter that Bruce Arians said something about him? Fuck, man. I know this. One second. He was on the Titans.
Blaine Gabbert?
Sorry. Yes, Blaine Gabbert. Blaine Gabbert. That's who they were talking about. Yeah, so Arians came out and he was like, hey, he's like, Blaine Gabbert hasn't gotten a real chance to start in the NFL. You know, so
he had a chance. he already had his chance, you know.
And I'm also confusing it completely because I don't even know if Blaine Gabbert was ever on the Titans, but
I think he actually was. He was also on the 49ers too, and I think he was initially drafted by the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Oh yeah, he was on the Titans in 2018. I'm gonna be honest, I remember.
Did he beat the Bears on the 49ers? Kaepernick started most of the game.
Yeah, he did. He came in. Well, yeah, Kaepernick got benched for him. Yeah, he did. Yeah. And then I remember him on the Arizona Cardinals team as well. And then I remember on the Tennessee Titans, I was watching this game. I was at an event, and I was like, who is in that quarterback for this Titans team? Because he was kind of slinging it in the game. And then I was like, oh, my God, that's Blaine Gabbert? and then apparently Tampa Bay was like, we got our guy. And then they moved on. You know what I would have really loved, actually? Imagine this, okay? Tom Brady actually retires. Tampa Bay brings back Jameis Winston. That would be incredibly funny.
How long is his contract with the Saints again?
I think it's a 2-year contract, This new one for him.
He's going to sling it, man. Famous Jameis, bro.
That's what everyone says about him. Mr. Crablegs himself, man. Dude, by the way, sorry guys, we're getting off topic here, but have you ever seen the like interview he did with John Harbaugh before the or Jim Harbaugh before the draft?
I don't think so, no.
I suggest everyone go on YouTube and look up Jim Harbaugh interviews Jameis Winston before draft. It has to be one of the funniest interactions I've ever seen. So highly, highly recommend it. But let's go ahead and talk about some Bears news, man. Bears have some signings, guys. Big names. They're really coming to play for us. Trevor Siemian to a 2-year deal. That's the first guy. Let's talk about him because I forgot the other guy's name. I'm sure you'll have it. But Trevor Siemian, I actually really like this. He didn't play bad for that Saints team. He played actually pretty decent in some of the starts he had. Yeah. And in my head, I was always like, we kind of need to draft a quarterback in like the later round, of course. I'm not going to be one of those Bears fans on Facebook that drafts quarterback in the first round. They trade up both their second round picks to the first round to select Kenny Pickett. But with Trevor Siemian, comes from a scheme that's very similar to Shanahan inspired scheme. Really like the fit. I always thought Nick Foles, like a lot of the Shanahan scheme has to do with like moving the pocket. And that's a lot of people are like, oh, our offensive line is going to be so bad this year. Yes, it probably will be bad, but it's not going to be as bad. I don't think it'll necessarily be as bad as last year if we devote the proper draft capital to it. Because the Shanahan scheme is so much about moving the pocket and giving the quarterback, play action, quick passes too, but mostly like being able to move the pocket, get the quarterback mobile. You really do need a somewhat mobile quarterback to execute the scheme properly.
Yeah, and I think that Trevor Siemian certainly is a better fit and kind of someone that's yeah, it seems like he's starting to gear up for, you know, maybe a career that's similar to Chase Daniel, you know, a lot more career passes thrown, but I think that, you know, Trevor Siemian is just kind of the guy who's, you know, just reliable enough as a backup quarterback. And you just kind of know what you're going to get from him, you know, when he goes in the game. He's not going to, you know, destroy the defense, but he had some success at certain times with Denver, and then also with the Saints as well. So he's proven to do it kind of on two different locations and two different totally football environments. So I think that, you know, bringing him in, his skills certainly fit the modern day, you know, NFL offense. Or not only that, but like you said, the Shanahan scheme in general. And you know, Foles, like you said, was he really going to contribute? You're not going to have, you know, you don't want Nick Foles rolling out too much, or really just kind of, you know, having to adapt or think on his feet too much.
Yeah, I completely agree with that. And, you know,
kind of RPO as well.
I hope that we're able to figure out a way to trade him, and we'll get into Poles kind of reference that as well. But I'm not super hopeful, if I'm being honest. Like, maybe we can get like a conditional seventh. I don't know if a lot of teams are like really rushing to get Nick Foles.
A Brock Osweiler type of deal. You know, we trade them the draft capital.
Yeah, I think the Bears are fine with not doing that. That Brock Osweiler contract has to be one of the most hilarious things to ever happen in the NFL.
It's, yeah. That's, you know, thankfully we're not in that position. Yeah, and honestly, what, you know, Pohl said that nothing's come up yet, right, in regards to Nick Foles as far as a trade is concerned.
Yeah. I think we will be waiting quite a bit before that happens, if it happens. Okay, you know what? Honestly, I could see mid-season a team starting quarterback going down and being like, all right, let's get Nick Foles. I could see that.
What if I know the Steelers have, Dwayne Haskins too? What if they're just like, we want to bring back the ultimate tandem, the Trubisky-Foles tandem. Yeah.
I think we should do two quarterbacks on the field at the same time.
Philly.
Man, one day we're going to look back at those 2020 episodes when we were in training camp and hyping up Nick Foles. I mean, I already kind of look back at them like, oh, how cringe, man, how cringe. But anyways, the Bears also signed Dane Cruickshank. Yeah. And it seems like you know a lot more about him than I do, Reese, because you actually liked the signing. I just have no way to respond to it.
I mean, by no means is this like, we got our cornerback too. Or I mean, I know he's a safety too. You know, it's not like we got our starting, you know, strong safety here. But at least from what I've known.
Ladies and gentlemen, we got him.
Yeah, we got him. But I think as far as.
Throwing it back to the old Obama era.
Yeah, exactly. Back at that, everyone's seen the Boston Red Sox clip, you know, they put it on the stadium.
Yeah.
But I think that with Cruickshank, I think it's more for like the specialty packages, right? You know, especially from what I've seen and what I've heard about him, his ability to be used kind of in the dime package. And he's kind of his best trade is being able to lock down tight ends, kind of as weird as it sounds. I guess I can kind of see the vision why he was brought in. Of course, it's, you know, still a smaller deal. And like I said, he's not someone that's going to be featured on every down in this defense. But I think that as far as a passing situation, which, you know, the dime package has become all, you know, ever more relevant in today's NFL. He's someone that you want to have out there to, you know, he can kind of play a little bit of like everywhere in the dime package, but especially at that safety position.
Good breakdown, Reese. I mean, honestly, adding anybody to this backfield, it seems like the Bears really like these Titans depth pieces. And maybe it's because Mike Vrabel, I think he runs a certain level of, you know, scheme accountability that Eberflus likes. And I think I'm going to trust Eberflus in his evaluation. Maybe we'll be slot cornerback. Maybe we'll be strong safety. It's going to be interesting to see, or maybe he'll just be a depth piece. I think ultimately they're hoping that he's a depth piece, but just trying to get a guy that they hope to rely on if need be.
And what I'd say is like, this is a move that like kind of the past regime would have never done. Kind of what you were saying with Vrabel on that is just like, especially in Mike Vrabel's defense, there's kind of positions within positions, right? Like, he has people on that defense to sometimes accomplish very specific things. And I think we're kind of seeing, especially in this new evolution of the defense, you're going to see a lot of players that, yes, they're adaptable into the defense, but they also really kind of know their specific role and kind of when situationally they're expected to show up. So I think that overall, I think that's really what we're getting out of Cruikshank. I think that I definitely think he'll be someone that's on the final roster in this defense. He might not be a absolute star player, but he's going to be someone that you're going to feature and kind of like your traditional, you know, role player in basketball. You know, he knows his spot.
He also has some punt return experience too.
Okay, that's interesting.
So has some punt return experience. So there's that added benefit there. Will be a special teams contributor. I mean, a guy that didn't start but was on the Tennessee Titans for the entirety of his draft. Like he was drafted by them and for the entire contract of his draft. So that's a good sign as well. And then Darrington Evans, who the Bears claimed, which again I think is another move that the previous Bears regime would have never done, claiming Darrington Evans, which I actually really like that move because I think he has a lot of potential. And really, you're just picking up a guy's rookie contract, so you're like adding another rookie. I think that's such a great move, and I don't know why Ryan Pace refused to do that, even if he's just a depth piece. With Darrington Evans, he even said something like, you guys don't understand how big this is. And obviously sometimes NFL players just hype each other up, but I do think it's good that like his teammates in the past are really, you know, showing this love for him. And then the Bears claim three previous Tennessee Titans, which I think is very interesting. All of them have insanely cool names: Darrington Evans, Kari Blasingame, and then Dane Cruikshank.
Yeah. I mean, what's not to like? I think that when you look at, it's hard to be like stoked about it, you know. But really, this what I'll big. Say,
this is next level.
This is big. It's just like, I just love like those kind of accounts. Like, this is big, guys. You know, people are
huge.
Yeah, this Dane Cruikshank
got Eber fleeced.
King Poles does it again, baby. But I think that. It's the type of, like, these are the type of signs that you build your depth, obviously, and I think that's been just drilled into people's heads by so many of these, you know, verified Twitter reporters and all that, you know. And I get, you know, why they're always pointing out just kind of sometimes how hypocritical fans can be, but honestly, I'm tired of it. Like, I'm tired of people trying to make themselves seem more reputable by, you know, breaking just down the common fan. Like, who cares? Like, sure, if their take's bad, it's a bad take, but, you know.
I did the entire beginning of the show.
Exactly. basically exactly that, you know. I'm not here for that. But I think that, well, it's something that certainly is building depth. Like, that's way too general. But I think that in general, it allows you to see, like, not only where you need to be adding on and, like, where you can get that really kind of star impact to really elevate, you know, the team's performance. But it allows you to, once you get those actual starters, those key players into place, then you have these people that already have some reps, have experience, you know their spot in the team. So when they do need to fill in, or when, you know, they're put into some kind of specialty package on defense or into special teams, they're ready to make an impact. And when you have all those kind of players that are always looking out when they're on the field, they want to make an impact. That's a great position to be in.
These signings matter mid-season. You know, it's it's eventually going to, the injury bug's eventually going to happen. One player that I look at that I think is really, like, I don't want to say underrated, but like underappreciated throughout the Ryan Pace era is someone like Deion Bush, who was just a really good backup and would fill in. And when, like, anywhere, you know, one of our DBs went down, he would fill in. Imagine if we add someone like a Deion Bush last season, when we were having all those injuries on our offensive line, like a Deion Bush level talent on that offensive line, it would have been perfect. It would have been great.
Be Larry Borum, you know.
Yeah, and maybe it will be. And I think Borum, you know, I think he does have more upside than that. But like, just having
that's it for him. I mean, I think that's all we can hope for.
We know after his rookie year, he's done. But like, I think having those players matter and taking these chances on young, high upside players and very choosing very interesting things for why they didn't work out. This the Titans in their safety room have a lot of depth there. They have depth safety, so he was probably overlooked a little bit because of that. With Darrington Evans, third round pick, was having these injury issues. These are the times to take these chances on these guys. It's like we just got another third round pick.
That's exactly what I was going to say. I think that better sums up my last point. I was going to say that basically these are like extra draft picks. And it's like, it's a, you know, maybe in the case of Darrington Evans, it's a fourth round pick that, you know, it worked out. It didn't extremely exceed expectations, but, you know, is an impact player, you know, it makes an impact, you know, during the game. So,
and these won't work every time. Like, I'm not going to say any of these guys are going to work for sure, but when you do this for 3, 4, 5 years, these players start to add up.
Yeah.
Like, they start to add to your depth. Yeah. Exactly. And if you want to take this like long-term approach, it works out. Just claiming these contracts of guys that didn't work out for this or that. Again, it's not going to work out every time. So if Darrington Evans is absolute trash, which he could be, oh well. It's like you're paying him what, like not even a full $1 million per year to be on your team. That's nothing in NFL cap space terms.
It's kind of the approach that the Bears have taken at the quarterback position for all these years, you know?
That's the one position you might not want to be. Funny. Okay, let's go ahead and talk a little bit. Depressingly, the Bears lose out on Ryan Bates. You know, I think we were both excited for Ryan Bates. And when we saw that he chose the Bears over the other teams and everything, we were hoping that we'd get him. The Bills match our offer. I think we were going to pay him like an average of like $4 million per year. It sucks, man. We still have a huge hole at that guard position. We're still missing out. This offensive line, it's not better. It's not better. I mean, maybe center's better, Lucas Patrick, but until the draft happens, right now this offensive line is not better. It's actually worse.
Yeah. No, they hit that Eberflus on the Bills, you know.
Yeah.
I'm done though, you know. But I think that obviously it was it sucked to see. You know, as Ryan Pohl said, it stinks. Very famously, you know. How do you feel about, you know, not getting bait? Oh, it stinks. So obviously I think that really kind of sums it up, the fact that, you know, he certainly would have made an impact and, you know, really would have kind of, I mean, he was certainly an impact player. It kind of just shows you how down bad this Bears offensive line is just in the fact that, you know, Ryan Bates seemed like such a huge win. And, you know, he certainly would have in the scope of
where I was hyped.
I was hyped too, especially, you know, given the scope of the current situation. So it's definitely unfortunate. I think that, you know, whenever it's with a restricted free agent, especially one where they're not going to get any picks back, it's definitely a reality of the situation. It's going to happen. Teams are definitely going to match in that kind of scenario. But they at least took their shot at it. And maybe they could have thrown more money and really forced the Bills not to. But I think that they gave him ultimately the contract that they were going to be comfortable taking on and didn't want to overextend themselves. So in the end of it, I get it.
And you, if I'm being honest, the fact that the Bills were willing to match this, to me, tells me that he's probably going to be a good player. You know, like, you don't really, if a backup offensive lineman leaves, you're not usually tripping out about it. You know, your team is usually just going to let him go and replace him with a draft pick. But the fact that this Bills team, who's, you know, needs to shell out, I mean, I don't know if they, I can't even remember if they've given Josh Allen an extension yet. I think they probably did. I can't remember though exactly, but a team that's going to be and a lot more issues with their caps going forward once Josh Allen officially moves on to his new deal or gets a new deal or whatever it may be, they're still willing to shell out $4 or $5 million a year for Ryan Bates, which tells me, yeah, it probably would have been a good signing if we got him. Maybe it's not, but most likely it probably is, since the people in the building really want to keep him there. I know you keep talking about Ereck Flowers. I agree with you. I think that that's really the guy they're going to need to target. A guy that's still, you know, sitting out there. Hopefully we can get a good deal for him and a team-friendly deal. And someone that showed a lot of promise, kind of a late bloomer considering his draft pick, but someone that's over the past 2-3 years have shown like comparable starting guard.
Yeah. And I think that he's definitely
capable, I should say, not comparable.
Yeah, he's probably going to be pretty budget friendly as well. I don't expect him to get any kind of, you know, large deal.
Only 27.
Yeah, right, exactly. He's only 27. And, you know, like you said, his first couple of seasons were a bit rough, but he did start to come on and, you know, was valued a little bit more. And I think that at this point, you know, you take a flyer on him. I don't think it's a bad idea to at least bring someone that's more experienced into the room, maybe save yourself a pick along the offensive line. I figure that's at least as much worth it.
Yeah, completely agree. All right, so let's go ahead and move on. Ryan Poles was, in fact, at the coaches meeting along with Matt Eberflus. If you guys don't know, I know some of you may be newer NFL fans. The coaches meeting is essentially just a meeting of all the coaches, as the title suggests, every single year. where sometimes they do like conferences where they'll like give insight to other coaches. But a big reason why it's there is for rule proposals, which actually did happen this year. It seems like both teams are not going to have the opportunity to possess the ball
in the playoffs, overtime. Right?
Yeah, in playoffs specifically, which I mean, I don't know why the NFL is so insistent upon not into having a sudden death.
I think it's
death.
Literally just TV money and TV time. I think it's really as simple as that. It's just keeping within the window.
Yeah, that's a good point. But it's also a time for coaches and GMs to meet with the media. And Ryan Poles, in fact, met with Bears beat reporters. The interesting thing is, I looked on YouTube. I couldn't find it. So I don't know if you can actually watch the meeting, but he certainly did talk to the media. And a couple of things.
We can confirm. You know.
We were there, actually. No, I'm just kidding. I don't think either one of us wants to be beat reporters. I think that's pretty well known. I think that's good because we can speak a little more candidly about the Bears on this podcast than maybe some other podcasts where their goal is to become a beat reporter. Not to hate on any beat reporters. There's plenty, you know, actually, there's a couple good Bears beat reporters. What'd you say?
So how are you going to dig yourself out of this hole, you know?
Oh, God, we're never going to collaborate with anyone ever again. No, I'm just playing. We're well-intentioned, you know, but I think that we definitely have a different tone on this podcast than some other podcasts. And yes, we are both egotistical to all get out. That being said, back to the original point.
Make sure to leave your 5-star reviews, everyone. Thank you very much.
Make sure to leave your 5-star reviews. If you leave a 4-star or less, you're dead to me. I think that's the common saying now. But yeah, 5-star reviews, please. Thank you. Especially if you're listening now, you're one of our favorite fans. And you know, I think eventually we'll do giveaways with those as well. Back to the original point at this meeting, Ryan Poles talked to the media and he came out and he said a couple of things. First, he said that he was really heartbroken about losing Ogunjobi and then also said losing Bates sucks. One point I want to get across here and we can talk about before I kind of talk a little bit more about the other points. He also said that he's still open to signing Larry Ogunjobi, but nothing has yet materialized. And I think this goes back to his original press release when we found out that Ogunjobi failed the physical, where he said that we are not signing him today.
Yeah.
I'm curious, Reese. I mean, I think I was very excited for Ogunjobi, so obviously I would love if we signed him. But how would you feel if we went back and we got him on a lower deal?
Yeah, I mean, I think if Larry Ogunjobi comes here on an even smaller deal than we already signed him, and you know the recovery is going well, I can't say I'd have a problem with it. I was definitely kind of with you. I thought that he would at least be, you know, as the bigger signing, I got a little bit of energy around it. I started to kind of see the role that he would fit in this defense, and especially in that 3 technique, and you know that they still need a good 3 technique. So I think that you know the best one out there is probably the one that they already had intent on signing. Mm-hmm. So I think logically, yeah, I mean, if he decides to come back on a smaller, you know, more team friendly deal, then I'm all for it.
Yeah, and I think honestly that would be just a huge win overall. And I would love to see the media's take on this, because for everyone that were A, roasting the Bears for signing Ogunjobi, and then for everyone that was also mad that he failed the physical, which seemed to be the exact same people, I would be interested to see, like, it would be honestly the ultimate move to just be able to get him on a lower deal. And I would be super hyped about it. You know, we'll talk a little bit more about Eberflus's scheme in a minute, but I just think he'd fit in well and exceed. I think we could see his best year yet. He's yet to play under a defensive head coach. And like, if you look back, I mean, God, I mean, so he played on the Browns, and I think that was at the time that they had Greg Williams. That's who it was. He was a part of that whole Bountygate scandal, wasn't he?
I believe so, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So Greg Williams, who's a very interesting character. I think he's out of the NFL now. But he was under Greg Williams and then some other defensive head coaches at his time with the Browns. Goes to the Bengals. They don't have a really... I mean, they're obviously an offensive team. Their defense was pretty poor last year. Ogunjobi was kind of the bright spot there. I'd be really interested to see him put into a scheme that knows he's going to fit well, and also a head coach that has a record of getting more out of players than they've ever done before.
Yeah, the Bengals' defense was interesting last year. I don't think they're necessarily poor, but they're definitely kind of just... It was a bunch of free agents brought together, and it certainly helped elevate them a good bit, and I think they kind of came up clutch when need be.
Full of stopgap solutions.
Yeah, it was, and you know, ultimately it worked out for them, and I think that, you know, I still, you know, really kind of, I don't think we even have to dig back, you know, through his career. I think you just kind of look at, you know, well, I guess you have to look back through his career to look through his tape and all that, but when you look at just the way that Ogunjobi plays, then yeah, I think it speaks for itself. I think you can see how he fits in. You know, he would probably just be the most dynamic. Well, I mean, we still have Robert Quinn, who's around, but he'd probably be the most dynamic player along the offensive line. I mean, I'm just thinking to myself.
I'm kidding. Know? I get what you're saying. I get what you're saying. Yeah, no, you're 100% right. I mean, he would be a good replacement for Akeem Hicks, and he'd probably give us more than Akeem Hicks has given us in the past couple of years.
Yeah. Well, which isn't that much. He's just been on injured most of the time.
Yeah. Let's hope that's... let's first sign him, but if we do sign him, let's hope that's not...
If he can be injured less, he's an improvement.
Yeah, good point. And that's interesting that Akeem Hicks still isn't, you know, with a team. I always find it interesting how many of these Bears guys will just leave the team and just be done with the NFL.
I think, like, they... Akeem Hicks is a very good player, especially like in his peak with the Bears, like, you know, 2018, even before that. Or when was he initially signed on? I feel like I'm misremembering.
That would be 2016.
Oh, really?
2016. Okay. Or yeah, was it 2015? Because I could be wrong, but I think he was actually traded to us.
All I know is that, you know, really before he started picking up injuries and, you know, 2020, 2019, kind of started getting banged up. Before that, he was an extremely impactful player, but I could tell you that, you know, teams were not going to be lining up to sign Akeem Hicks. You know, it's just where he is right now, and he's not in the best part of his career anymore, unfortunately.
Yeah, and I actually think he was in 2015, which was kind of when Ryan Pace came in and had some bigger splash moves. I don't know if you remember exactly. Actually, no, it was 2016. I was right. Do you remember where he was in 2015? The team he came from?
Wow. Oh, man. That's a good question. Was he...
Do you know who he was drafted? He was drafted by the Saints, but that wasn't who he came from.
What conference was it in?
Oh, it's going to give it away. It was the AFC East.
Oh, the AFC East? I didn't say division. Was he a... He wasn't a Bengal, but was he... Dang. Was he a Steeler? I can't remember.
Isn't that that's the AFC North, bro?
Ah, dude, you're kidding me, man. I look like such an idiot right now. AFC East. Dang, bro. Was he a... No, he wasn't a Bill. Dude, who was he with? I don't know.
He was just the Patriots. He was a Patriot, man.
Take me on my misery, bro.
He was a Patriot. And a lot of people forget about that. But, geez, who was it? I can't remember, but this one podcaster that worked in the front office with the last name Lombardi, I can't remember his first name, but
Michael.
He Yeah, Michael Lombardi. That's exactly who it was. Who has some interesting takes.
I can pull that one out, but you know,
let me just tell you this: wasn't the best GM, so yeah, I don't know how much I would trust him. But he said that one of his biggest regrets with his time with the Patriots was letting Akeem Hicks leave the building. So yeah, kind of interesting. But yeah, no, Larry Ogunjobi would be great. Sorry, there's so many tangents in this episode, guys, but sometimes things just flow like that. Ryan Poles in the coaches meeting also came out and said that Trevor Siemian is a better fit, talked about trading, about potentially trading Nick Foles, and that he wants to. I think that's great. But the big thing that I want to get to is that he emphasized that a reporter asked him something along the lines of, do you think you've done enough for Justin Fields for his year two so that he can take that next step, which I think is a very fair criticism. And I was happy that it was so... I was happy that question was asked because I think it was kind of like the elephant in the room. You know, it's like, have we done it? Even though this is like good for our long-term success, the way that we've approached this offseason, have we done enough for Justin Fields' development where he can take that next step? And obviously, we still have a draft to come by. But Poles essentially said, yes, I believe so. But really, I think the scheme is going to be massive in Justin Fields' development. Maybe throwing a little bit of shade at Matt Nagy. More so, I think, just having a competent offensive play caller, which, I mean, obviously there's no guarantees, but Luke Getsy seems to be that. And also a scheme that has shown a lot of success in the NFL.
Yeah, I think that certainly we can expect coaching to, you know, have a pretty large impact. With that being said, though, man, like he needs people to throw the ball to. He needs people on the offensive line. Now, not saying that they need to go out and address all this tomorrow. I mean, we obviously still have the draft ahead of us, and you know, people think that this is like the fourth wave of free agency, but this is really still like the first real part of it. so there's still a lot of signings to be made. You know, undrafted free agents too. That certainly makes a difference. So there's a lot of additions to be made, but at the same time, I can really see both sides of it. Justin Fields, simply, he needs those pieces around him. But I think, you know, if there really isn't much that changes, I think that the coaching will have a positive impact on him. But, you know, he won't be able to fully make that huge step forward that, you know, people really, really want to see, unless he's able to get a better supporting cast around him.
For sure. I kind of agree with that. And, you know, I really hope that in the draft we can get those guys where Justin Fields excels because of the young talent around him. I mean, obviously, as I said in the previous podcast, the best case scenario is we get through the season, we go like 9-8, I think would be great. And then you're looking at like, okay, this is an offensive and defensive scheme that can maximize talent beyond its potential on other teams. And now we have a ton of draft capital. We have a ton of cap space, and we're ready to roll.
We don't have a ton of draft capital, at least for this year.
We have a normal draft, which is a ton for Bears fans.
We have at least 5 picks, which yes, is sir. Positive.
Well, I think we actually do have 8 picks.
Is that where it stands right now?
Maybe if Nick Foles, because I think that sixth round pick we got from the Chargers this next year too. So we get that extra pick on top of what we have. We have a full draft plus 1 pick, and then maybe, you know, maybe some team will trade for Nick Foles for a first round pick or something.
Yes, very astute analysis. Obviously, you know, Super Bowl ring, that's an automatic first round pick, I think.
For sure.
That's usually what's tossed around in league circles during these kind of discussions.
We've talked to guys inside the league and they're telling us first round or bust.
They just don't want to be disclosed, so we're just gonna have to call them sources.
Yeah, our sources. All right, so on top of that, Eberflus also spoke to the media through the Hogan Johns podcast, which if you guys listen to us, you probably listen to them. Both Adam Hogue and Adam Johns are the cream of the crop when
it comes to beat reporters. So wait, that's still going on with the whole CHGO thing?
Yeah, yep. So Hogan Johns is still there.
Okay.
Yeah, so no worries. The Hogan Johns podcast, which is a great podcast, and also you guys should check out the CHGO. Nicholas Mariano, who's been on our podcast as well, he's on there, and they're doing a lot of cool stuff with Oncrete, and you know, it's a cool setup, and you know, I think they're getting better every single time they're on the podcast. Eberflus was on the Hogan Johns podcast, which is a fantastic podcast. We recommend you listen to them. Also check out the CH Go podcast. They're doing cool stuff with, I think they're even doing like, they do all sports, which is really cool. The first thing that I want to point out is on that podcast, he brought up another footballism. You know how he has the ball hawk t-shirts and, you know,
spare me with that, man. He's
got a new one recently. I'm sure you'll like it. It's Eminem, and it's for these defensive linemen. Mean and motor. Those are the two principles. And he says he's got some shirts on the way, too.
Dude, so, I can do without this stuff, man. I don't know. Eminem.
Yeah, that's the new thing. So everyone get your Eminem gear ready.
So what are the linebackers? They just get nothing?
Yeah, they get nothing. But I mean, they could be a ball hawk too. But maybe he'll come up with another thing.
They can be a ball hawk.
He'll be like Heath Bar, you know.
Roquan Smith will just be like, nah. I can't be a ball hawk. It's okay.
Yeah. Right. But the big thing, back to the original point that he mentioned that really stuck out to me, is he talked about his scheme has a proven track record of turning B players into A minus players. Which I agree. That's kind of what we saw with the Colts. So I wanted to bring up, who's the players that you think could really see that go from a B player to like an A minus player? Also, do you agree with him?
Yeah, I agree with him somewhat, you know. Maybe he's being a little generous. I also love the fact, though, he's trying to be, like, a little bit humble. He's like, A minus, you know. So, he could still be a little bit better, you know. But they're pretty good, you know.
A guy that I think about that sticks out to me with his team is a guy like Kenny Moore, who you know, became a Pro Bowler last year, undrafted in 2017, excelled in his defense. But who on the Bears?
I think that, you know, I think someone like, I was going to say Tyrus Tonga, but I have to see how Tyrus Tonga fits into this new, you know, 4-3. Why am I blanking on the defensive end? Gibson. I think that Travis Gibson is certainly going to probably take us. I already expected him to have a strong 2022. And just kind of continue making steps forward. I think the tape that he's put out already has been great. And I do think that under this new, you know, new defensive scheme in the 4-3, I think that he'll also be able to excel. So he's someone that, you know, jumps off right away. I'm interested too, you know, like, I think one that you wouldn't expect would be Kendall Vildor, but not as a second corner, but I think in the nickel, I think that he could really utilize him. Which is
that brings up the question: do you think it's going to be him in the nickel or Thomas Graham?
I don't know, man.
I'm kind of leaning towards Thomas Graham.
I feel like I almost like Thomas Graham out wide though, instead of in the nickel more.
Some people have brought that up too. The only thing is he's kind of short. But so is Khalil. So is God. I was going to call him Khalil Herbert. Kendall Vildor.
Oh man, but
yeah. So Khalil Herbert cannot play outside corner. Hot take.
But I think that Thomas Graham. I actually was blank on Thomas Graham too. I mean, I think Thomas Graham's got a lot of great potential as well. I think Kendall Vildor though. I think he's got ability, you know, and we'll see. You know, Eddie Jackson is kind of like a C player right now, so maybe he can become an A minus again.
Yeah, I think Eddie Jackson, Travis Gibson was the first player that jumped in my mind, and then my second player was Thomas Graham.
What about Mario? Could Mario Edwards make a resurgence?
That's what I was thinking, too. Mario Edwards, he had a great year in 2020, like just being randomly picked up. That honestly was an insane year for him. I could see him really making a resurgence because he has everything as far as being a pass rusher goes, dude. He is explosive. He has technique.
He was a third round pick for a reason. You know?
Yeah. No, literally.
He's barely on the field.
Yeah, you never. And I kind of wonder if it was like, I think there's still a little bit of like character concerns with him. You know, like he got into altercation almost immediately when he got on the Bears in, what was it, Charlotte? No, South Carolina, when we were playing the Panthers. He got into that altercation that got him suspended. And it kind of, to me at least, it seemed like Matt Nagy was really trying to fight for his like leadership ability that final year, which is why I think A-Rob got taken out of a lot of game plans outside of the fact that he like gave up on stuff. I think that was a little bit about it. Sorry, my Amazon Echo just started, randomly woke up and started making random noises. That was creepy. But yeah, so back to what I was saying. I do think it's, I think this defense is going to be pretty good. Because you have to think, it's like the same defense as last year. We get an extra draft and add on some players. I mean, we lost out on Eddie Goldman, who, I mean, what did he even do? He was barely on the field. And the one hole that I think we really see is Bilal Nichols.
They lost a lot of pass potential, but as far as people that are actually on the field like last year, they really didn't that much. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, and you know, basically in general, they have a lot of the pieces to still make this work, you know, and Jalen Johnson is, they at least have like one solid to great player at like each level of the defense, which is, it's certainly reassuring that they're at least going to be able to make this work. So,
do you think Eddie Jackson can have the type of year that he had with Vic Fangio?
No, I don't think he'll have that type of year. I think those years are done. But I do think that he could find some success. My one thing is that, like, you know, the last time the Chuck Pagano thing really killed Eddie Jackson's effectiveness.
Yeah.
And I'm curious to what the effect of Eberflus's defense, if it's going to be somewhat similar on him. But we'll just have to see. Not that their scheme is incredibly similar at all. It's definitely not. But as far as just like, you know, Eddie Jackson's going to be tasked with a lot of two high. And we know that he did really well in single high, especially in the first couple of years of his career. But, you know, what's that relationship?
If I'm being honest, I kind of wonder, I kind of wonder how much losing out on, even though I'm happy we didn't sign Adrian Amos to the contract he got with the Packers, I kind of wonder how much losing Adrian Amos, because Adrian Amos did cover up a lot of the holes that Eddie Jackson had when it came to tackling, covering underneath routes, and it kind of let, because like Eddie Jackson hasn't had nearly the amount of talent around him that he did on that 2018 team where he's just able to go out and hunt. You know, that was all Eddie Jackson did in 2018. Is like, you could trust Kyle Fuller. You could trust Prince Amukamara at the time. Eddie Jackson, all he did was just hunt for the ball. Adrian Amos would play all the underneath routes. I kind of wonder if we could surround him with that same level of talent, if he could do the same thing. Because even though he's a great player, was a great player for us, I think he has a very specific role in a defense, and it just so happened to fit Vic, what Vic Fangio wanted to do very well. I wonder if he could get back to that.
Maybe. I think it's a little bit wishful, but I think that
for sure
he can certainly be better than he was last year, and we'll see where he builds on off of that. But I think at least getting back to a year where he's causing, you know, let's say that, you know, for him, if it's however it comes, if he can cause 5 turnovers, that would be excellent. If that means getting 3 picks and, you know, forcing 2 fumbles, you know, he's just got to get back out there and make some kind of impact, you know, because like you said, sometimes he does make mistakes, but if he can force turnovers, which is going to be a huge part of what Eberflus wants to do, that's why he's taking the advice of, you know, bringing in players like, you know, Peanut, you know, Charles Tillman, bringing him back in so they can talk about doing the Peanut punch and all that. Like, turnovers are going to be a huge part. You know, a lot is going to be forgiven on Eddie Jackson if he can go out there and, you know, cause some turnovers.
Yeah, for sure. One final thing I want to get to before we close out the show. Patrick Peterson just re-signed with the Vikings. He came out on a podcast and said that the Bears were interested in him, though, before he re-signed with the Vikings. I predicted that. Not trying to flex.
Here we go.
not trying to flex. I did say that, though. I did recommend it as well. Let's just take a minute. Okay. How would you have felt if we signed Patrick Peterson? Do you feel like we missed out? Because, you know, I still feel
probably
like
how I would have felt if we this is going to seem real harsh. I was going to say probably how I would have felt if we signed Richard Sherman last year.
Damn, bro. That is harsh, man. That is harsh.
I mean, come on, man. Like, it's not... Would he have been a good, like, help for this year? Yeah, but it was never going to be anything more than that, you know? It was never going to be anything deeper than that, you know?
Like, I understand. I understand. Damn. All right. Well, I think that's a good way to end the show, guys. Thank you for tuning in. We are going to be releasing a mock draft episode this weekend. So our very first mock
highly
draft.
Highly anticipated.
Yeah, I'm sure we will do it again. I mean, through our mock drafts, I feel like every year we hit on a couple players that the Bears actually do draft, especially
if not, bring up a couple players that, you know, teams end up drafting and they do well. So,
yeah,
you know, so, there's that, huh?
yeah, our word is gold. So you might want to tune into that one. But other than that, man, any final words? Thank you guys again. Please leave us a rating and review in the bottom of Apple Podcasts, Spotify, whatever you're listening on. And Reese, any other comments?
Nah, it's just been a real joy during this off season so far, hopping on here every week and being able to talk about everything that's going on in the off season. So appreciative of being able to cover this moment in Bears history.
For sure. Thank you, everyone. Bear down. See you this weekend.
Yep, bear down.